So we're starting a new series. I think there's actually a different slide, hopefully, Beth, that has like a harp on it. So we finished up our Psalm series. We're starting this new series called Emmanuel Songs. So we're getting into the Christmas season. Christmas is just a few weeks away. And we're going to be looking at a different song from the Bible each week that kind of points us towards Christmas, points us towards Jesus coming, as we've got right here. Today, though, we're going to be talking about a specific song. And songs can be really powerful, right? Like songs can describe reasons that we love somebody, pain that we've been through, suffering, and can kind of put it into our heart, right? And we can connect with the depth of how it really feels. As we're going through these songs, that's what we're going to be looking for. But this song in particular we're going to be looking at today, it's actually getting into the pain that Jesus experiences here on earth. So it gets into the pain that Jesus experiences here on earth. So we're going to be looking at a psalm, just like we've been in Psalms for a little bit. But I'm gonna pray, and then we're going to jump into this sermon, okay? Jesus, you are good. You are our good shepherd. Jesus, you are our good shepherd. We look to you to guide us, to lead us, to unify us. Jesus, prepare our hearts right now to take Lord's Supper here in a minute, to remember you. Be with us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's this quote from Stephen Covey, begin with the end in mind. I think we have a slide of it. Actually, if your kids are in the independent school district, they're talking about some of these quotes. But if you remember Joe Calhoun, did a lot of things here. Joe was a big fan of Steve Covey as well. So if we can go to this next slide for me, Beth, that would help. And so begin with the end of mind is this wisdom that he talks about. Before you get started with something, you should really think, what do you want to accomplish? And when we think about Jesus coming to earth, a lot of times we think about the scene just like right here, right? We think about Jesus coming, there being no room in the inn, him being born in a manger in a stable. But for Jesus and for God the Father, they knew already the whole plan, right? They knew the destination for Jesus on earth wasn't just that stable, right? So hundreds of years before Jesus came to Bethlehem, Jesus was already alive and with the Father. He's been with the Father forever. And David, in Psalm 22, wrote a psalm where I think a lot of pieces of David's experience, the Holy Spirit was inspiring him to point forward to what Jesus was going to experience. And so today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Psalm 22 right now, but before we take Lord's Supper, we're going to read the whole psalm. And so if we go to this next slide here, Psalms 22, and I know a lot of weeks folks will use their phones, and if you have to use your phone to like make it huge text or something, like that's okay. But we're going to be taking Lord's Supper and actually looking at this psalm later. And so if you're up for just reading it out of the regular physical Bible, I'd love for you to open up to, yeah, Mike's reaching behind him. Get that pew Bible, right? So even if you normally use a phone, I'd love for you to use a real Bible today. Real Bible, I don't know, but a physical Bible. And Psalm 22. If you don't know where Psalms is at, if you just keep opening the Bible to the middle, you'll hit Psalms pretty soon. It's giant. It's in the middle. And Psalms 22, I'm going to eventually take us to the New Testament, but you just keep a thumb in Psalms 22. And if you're there already, you'll notice that opening line, I don't have the verse up on the screen, but that opening line is, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Gospel of Matthew, actually a couple of the Gospels, record Jesus saying this on the cross. It's this pretty disturbing phrase, right? For the Son of God to be saying, God, why do you forsake me? As he's being tortured and as he's dying. Jesus often talked to his disciples about what was going to happen to him. They had a hard time understanding it. But he would talk to them about, I'm going to get rejected by all the religious leaders of our day, by the authorities of our day. I'm going to be abused by them, right? And he would even make reference to, like, I'm going to die and raise again. People did not understand it, right? A lot of times, even if we're close to Jesus, we don't understand what God's up to, right? Sometimes we read the Bible and think, oh, they didn't get it. I understand it all now. But if you're living your life and trying to stay close to Jesus, I bet there's times we're like, I don't understand why this bad thing's happening. And the people closest to Jesus did not really have a clue what was going on, right? Some of the courageous women and some others stayed real close to him on the cross. Most of the guys like took off, but like everybody was freaking out about why is this happening. And then Jesus himself is saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? But when you look at Psalm 22, you realize like that's the opening of Psalms 22. And then if you will read the whole psalm like we're going to do in a little while, you realize like, whoa, this is not just a psalm about suffering. There's a lot of really specific references to things that are going to happen to Jesus while he's on the cross. On the road to Emmaus, after Jesus raises from the dead, he meets with a couple of disciples who are just clueless about why did Jesus die. And it says that Jesus opened up the scriptures to them and explained it. Like, look, it's so clear in the Old Testament. This is what I needed to do. Jesus started way before he came to Bethlehem with the idea, like, I need to die to make a bridge for people to get to God. We're going to make a whole new covenant, a whole new relationship, but it's going to cost me my blood. Now, why is that so important? Well, a lot of times, most people probably here in Independence, like, they've heard this idea that Jesus died for the world, right? God loved the world and Jesus died for us. They've heard it before. But I think we need this psalm, this song today, to bring it into our hearts, right? Because my guess is whatever's got you super stressed out or feeling like your life's not good enough or people don't love you enough or like maybe doing it God's way, you can't really trust him, so you're going to do some sort of shortcut. All that stuff would probably be a lot easier to face if you were in love with Jesus because you knew like, man, that guy did so much for me. Like when you are really connected with what Jesus did for you, everything else gets easier. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's easier when you know you got a friend like Jesus that would suffer that much for you. Whatever suffering you're, I mean, we go through some hard suffering, but it's different when you're not in it by yourself, right? And so that's what we're going to be focusing in on. We're going to do this, but I'm going to kind of prep us with Paul in 2 Corinthians is going to talk to us about Jesus dying for us. He's going to talk about what should that do in our heart. So I'm going to have this on the screen. If you want to stay in Psalms 22, you can, or you can flip it in your Bibles. But we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 5, just 14 and 15, pretty quick here. I want to read it to us. It says, for Christ's love compels us. If you ever get a chance to have a deep conversation with Coach Daniel, you should ask him about this, right? He has this great story about how this verse came alive and changed his life, right? Because this idea of there's a lot of different reasons people try to do the next right thing. The best reason to do the next right thing is because Jesus' love makes you want to. Like, that's the best motivation for anything, right? He says, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. I'm going to pause here for a second. Why does Jesus' love become this engine to drive us to doing the right thing? Here it's because the length that Jesus went for us. Maybe you've had somebody loving in your life, like maybe you've been blessed with a good grandparent, a good parent, a good teacher, or somebody, but you've never had anybody go the distance that Jesus would go for you, right? And if you can keep that active in your heart, it can be this powerhouse, right? So here's verse 15. Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, right? People are selfish. We're born selfish. We walk around getting hurt by people because they're selfish and we're selfish and it's a mess, right? But when you accept Jesus' love in your life and you're like, Jesus died for me, it's this motivation of I don't want to live for myself anymore. And imagine how your marriage would be different, or even how your relationship with people that seems all broken up would be different if you weren't living for yourself. And you said, I'm filled up with Jesus' love. Like, how would you treat the last person who's been mean to you or done injustice to you or just you don't like that they like Joe Burrow or whatever it is, right? You know, like, I mean, it can be silly stuff, but sometimes we treat people bad. But if you're filled up with Jesus died for me, it changes the dynamic at Quick Trip or at your kitchen table or near all those dirty dishes that you're washing again and again because nobody else, you know, in your house will wash them or whatever it is, right? All who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him, for Jesus who died for them and was raised again. We don't worship a dead man here at Maywood. No Christians worship a dead man, right? We worship Jesus who's alive, right? Like, we have hope because our God is not dead. He didn't stay in the ground. He's alive. Now, right away, sometimes people will have like, well, I could be a Christian except for this weird verse in the Old Testament or this other weird thing, or I met this person who was a jerk and they said that they were a pastor or whatever it might be, right? Right out of the gate, to be a Christian, we believe that a person rose from the dead. Like, that's going to take a jump for anybody. Like, there's more than you can see. There's more than you can explain, and it's right out of the gate. And so it takes this leap of faith to say, like, I'm in with you, Jesus. I'm going to believe that you're alive. And then I do believe Jesus will show you things in your life that are undeniable if you'll walk it out with him. But right out of the gate, we got to believe that someone loved us enough to die for us when we weren't good. No matter what you did this week, right? I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's been having a rough time. But I wanted to assure him, like, Jesus loves you and wants to stay connected with you, right? Like, Jesus isn't looking at whatever you did on Tuesday this week and thinking, I never want to talk to that guy again, right? If you're alive and breathing, it's because Jesus wants to talk to you. Jesus wants a relationship with you, right? Okay. So here's what we're going to do for Lord's Supper. We're going to have the serve team come up. I love the way Joseph, who leads our serve team, does this now. They do a Bible study on Sunday mornings and say, this is what Lord's Supper is about. And then they talk through the practicals of how we're going to serve it. And when we're doing this Lord's Supper, remember earlier, I hope I didn't scare you with what I said earlier. Here's the deal is, if you're here right now and you're like, I want to follow you, Jesus. I don't know if I can do it right. I don't know if I can make it through the next 3 hours sober, or I don't know if I can go home and not be selfish. It's not that you're promising to be perfect. What you're saying right now is, I'm serious about Jesus. I want in this moment to do it right with Jesus, and I'm asking him for help. If you're here right now and you're saying, I give you my whole heart, I'm scared I can't keep it in your hands, but I'm giving it all to you right now. And if there's something Jesus is telling you to do, like go elbow somebody in the room and say, I'm sorry, well then go do it, right? Okay, so, but if you really mean it, like, Jesus, I'm giving you everything I can give you right now, then we want you to take this, right? So they're gonna go around and hand these out. There's two cups. They're kind of nested, I think is the fancy term. So there's like bread and juice in the same. So take both cups, but then wait for us. I'll guide you through it. And today it is gonna be a little slower than normal because once we all get it and get set, I'm gonna read Psalms 22 with you, okay? I'm not gonna explain a lot of Psalms 22, but I want you to be picturing Jesus on the cross, and this is a song that in a lot of ways describes what he goes through, okay? And then I'll guide us through when to take what, okay? So thank you, guys. And there'll be a little bit of stillness here. Please be reverent as we're doing this, right? Like, we're honoring Jesus' death. But in this stillness time, like, you can pray. Even if someone next to you is being a distraction, you can pray and say, like, Jesus, I'm focused on you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? Not answer by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you have brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey, open their mouth wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it is melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothing among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Now from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Dear Jesus, thank you for the victory that you had, that you suffered for us, that you bled for us, and that you rose again for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I've got a closing thought for us on the sermon, if you guys will be patient with me. Thank you, guys, surf team. So on Wednesday night, somebody said something that stuck with me this week, and it actually fits with 2 Corinthians 5 and with the very end of that Psalms 22. 2 Corinthians 5, the beginning of it, talks about Jesus' judgment, that every single one of us, when we die, we're going to see Jesus face to face. There's going to be a conversation, good or bad. But then Paul's response to that in verse 11 is, so we try to persuade people. You know, we try to have conversations about Jesus, help people have a good relationship with Jesus. And if you notice the end of Psalms 22, it talks about this proclamation to people not even born yet, right? All of us were not born when that was written, right? Like, that's come true. Like, somebody told us about Jesus' love for us, right? Well, on Wednesday night, I had somebody really sad about somebody else who's passed away now. And they told the other men in our group, like, don't wait to talk to people that you care about Jesus. And then in preparation for this meeting we're about to have, I was scrolling through Maywood's Facebook to try to find pictures of us. As I was scrolling, I came across this picture we're going to put up here. So it's a picture from, I think, Easter maybe, about a year ago at least. Less than a year, but I mean, about Easter. And the reason it jumped out to me, like took my breath away, was in the green right there is my dad who passed away this summer. But he was here at Maywood right over there. And that's my mom next to him. And they're worshiping, right? And my dad, you know, has been a Christian since before I was born and knew Jesus. But when he first got diagnosed with terminal cancer, there's somebody I wanted to talk with almost right away. And one of the first people I had a deep conversation with about my dad was Zach Butler, who's pastor at Gateway. Their church did that Family Feud thing with us. They're actually preaching out of Corinthians as well right now about reconciliation. But I went to Zach because his dad, who is a mentor of mine, had terminal cancer and passed away. And Zach was 19 when that happened. He's half my age. But I went and wanted to talk to Zach because I knew we were close. And I knew, like, he'd literally been there before, right? I mean, you don't always have that when you go through something hard, but sometimes you do. And here's what Zach's advice to me. So my dad had been diagnosed. It was super bad, like stage 4, like you're not going to make it without a miracle type of thing. But Zach's big advice to me was, Jake, if there's anything you need to say to your dad, like, don't wait around to say it. Like, talk to him now. And very good advice if you ever find yourself in that spot of, like, I think if you've been around cancer that kills people, like the last couple weeks is not the time to have deep conversation, you know? It's just a lot of pain. My dad and I had a really good relationship, so there wasn't any giant, like, oh, I got to go talk to dad about this or that. But I really thought about it. Like, is there anything I want to talk to him about? And today, like, if you just keep focusing on how much Jesus loves you and that he died for you, honestly, everything's probably going to work out. I don't know that you even need another thought from me. But if I could give you one more thought, is that if you're filled up with Jesus' love, like, take a hard thought about, like, who do I need to talk to about this, like, right now? It's easy when somebody has terminal cancer to think, like, ooh, man, we don't have much time. But unfortunately, as I was scrolling through Facebook just in the last couple years, like, my dad's not the only person who's passed away, right? And if you've been at Maywood very long, like, yeah, you've felt some of that, right? And some of it's been real sudden, right? So this is kind of like, ooh, this is down, right? I don't want it to be that way, though, right? Because this conversation, you don't force people to accept Jesus. Like, Jesus himself says in John 6, like, people can only come to me if the Father enables them to. Like, God works in people's heart. All we got to do is pray, like, God, give me an open door, and God, help me to talk about your good news. That's all we can do, right? So this week, you could think about, like, who's my person? That I love them, and I want to say a prayer, like, God, would you open a door for me to talk with them? And then if there is an open door, like, I'm going to just talk about how you love me. Talk about how to have a relationship with you, right? Doesn't have to be pressure. Might not be the right time, right? But that Wednesday night, like, I wish I could go back in time and tell that man the same thing I'm telling you guys right now, right? Like, hey, don't wait. Because clearly, like, that guy, like, you know, like, he wishes he wouldn't have waited on that conversation. And I can't go back in time, but I can talk to us right now. Because if we're alive 10 years from now, like, we'll probably lose somebody that we love, right? Here on earth, right? I mean, it just didn't happen to me a lot when I was like 7, but now that I'm 39, it feels like it happens a lot, right? And maybe it's just here at Maywood too. Like, Western Independence is a rough place. It's just the truth of it, right? It's like not everybody lives through every year, you know? It's real intense, but here's the thing. One other story, so we don't just end on like, ooh. Another man that I got to know on Wednesday nights that I love dearly, his dad passed away. And things were rocky with him and his dad, and he was worried, like, that his dad never knew Jesus. And then he got to have a conversation with somebody that was like, no, I was meeting with your dad all the time, and we were praying and reading the Bible. And, like, we just never know the deal of what's happened with people that we love and what their interactions are, right? And, like, I can tell you, if you really need that sort of story of hope, I can introduce you to that man. He's in the room, you know, type of thing. Like, sometimes people you've written off of, like, oh, no, I'm sure they don't have a relationship with God. Like, sometimes God surprises us getting through to people towards the end, right? So I'm going to pray a blessing over us with this stuff. It's about 10 minutes till noon. I would love for you guys all to stick around for this next part, okay? I got some questions this week about budget stuff. I know last week I was talking about, like, we're going to try to keep this short. I got some questions this week, so we're going to try to make sure we answer the questions. So it might be, I don't know exactly how long it's going to be, but I would love to be a part of it because Maywood, we're a church. God's called us to be a family, right? We're certainly not a perfect place, but, like, we want people involved. We want everybody to do their part, right? And so I think today will be good for you. If you got the time, I'd love for you to stick around with it. But I'm going to pray to close out our service, but I would love for you just to stay, and then we're going to hand some stuff out and just get rolling with the next thing, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you that you didn't give up on any one of us. That's why we're still breathing. Jesus, thank you for, there's no distance you would go not to get to us, but you do wait for us to open the door of our heart. And I pray for every single person in this room to open our heart, every single person watching online to open our heart to you. And Jesus, show us the right person that you want us to tell about you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.